One of the most popular holiday traditions in New York City is the annual lighting of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Plaza. And every year, thousands and thousands of tourists from all over America and all over the world line up to watch it. But last November the 30th, when the city went to flip the switch, hundreds and hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters showed up to slam Israel and try to stop the ceremony. This is what part of what it looked like. People, let me ask you something. Aren't you sick and tired of it?
Yes.
Can't we do anything anymore without a bunch of leftists and Islamo-Nazis getting all up in your face? And now they're even trying to ruin Christmas. For the last 3 years, ever since COVID, everything has been so dark and so depressing and so hopeless. And it seems like God is as far away as the ghost of Christmas past. So this year for Christmas, more than anything else, we need to know that God is really with us. And the good news is, the real meaning of Christmas, Emmanuel, is that God really is with us in the presence of Jesus Christ. So we're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a short series for Christmas called Christmas Presence, looking at how the presence of God is all over us at Christmas time in Jesus Christ. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at how the presence of God is with us at Christmas time in Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, Matthew 1, 23, and I'll read verses 22 and 23 for the context. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this season. I just thank you so much for Christmas. Just thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you came to be with us, God in the flesh in Jesus Christ. And I pray you just teach us this morning what it means that you really are with us. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of Matthew chapter 1, the angel tells Joseph how and why Jesus is going to be born. And in our text today, he tells him that his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we really want the presence of God at Christmas time. We need to find it in Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, tells us three reasons why in Jesus Christ, God is with us at Christmas time. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why God is with us at Christmas time is because Jesus is God with us at Christmas time. And that's exactly what the angel tells us here in verse 23. Now notice, Jesus' sex was not assigned at birth. And Joseph and Mary did not let him choose his own gender and then give him a non-binary name like Sage or Raven or Lennox. Because the angel says here in verse 23, Jesus was going to be a boy and his name was going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, my name, Kevin, literally means handsome by birth. I know. Doesn't have anything to do with who Kevin really is. But Jesus' name, Emmanuel, has everything to do with who Jesus really is. Emmanuel, the Hebrew word with El, which is short for Elohim, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the only God there is. Emmanuel, God with us. And that is exactly what the Bible tells us about Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And before Jesus came, the presence of God dwelt with his people in the Holy of Holies. Between in the tabernacle, later in the temple, between the wings of the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And Moses or a priest with their faces covered would go into the Holy of Holies one day a year on the Day of Atonement with their faces covered. Because Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, nobody can see God's face and live. But that first Christmas was the miracle of the incarnation, which literally means God with meat on him. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled or pitched his tent among us in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, God in human form. Last September, Nabisco came out with what they called the Ritz Oreo, a mashup of two things of two totally different natures, a cookie and a cracker, sweet and salty, cream and peanut butter. And those things were so salty, they are so popular, they absolutely flew off the shelves. Well, 2,000 years ago at the first Christmas, God came out with something called Emmanuel, a person made up of two totally different natures, heavenly and earthly, God and man. Sadly enough, not very popular at all today. And why did God become a man? So we could relate to Him. Because God wants us to relate to Him. Because God wants us to have a relationship with Him. Amen. Last week, Time magazine named Taylor Swift Person of the Year. Folks, Taylor Swift is worth over $1 billion. She shuts down entire freeways when she comes into a city to do a concert. And Taylor Swift doesn't just have a security team. She has an entire security army, 223 bodyguards. That's even more than King Charles and the entire British royal family combined, for crying out loud. I tried to get close to Taylor Swift, I'd either be beaten to a bloody pulp or I would be shot on sight. Taylor Swift is not like me. I can't relate to Taylor Swift. But I can relate to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came here like me. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, He was found in appearance like a regular man. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, are you relating to Him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, of course, the world today doesn't believe that Jesus is God at all. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, former NBA star, who's also a Muslim, says this in the Los Angeles Times. Islam says that Jesus was one of the most important prophets and that Jesus was born of a virgin. And the only thing that Islam says that's different from Christianity is that Jesus was not God's son and Jesus didn't die on a cross. Oh, that's all. Folks, that's what Christianity is all about. Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. The devil doesn't want you to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, Jesus did not die on a cross to save you from your sin. So what difference does it make to believe that Jesus is God or not? It's the difference between heaven or hell. Amen. All across America today, this Christmas season, you see things like that. A nativity scene showing Jesus with two fathers. And a stupid sign that says, Jesus had two dads and He turned out okay. Talk about making the Yuletide gay. Yes, Jesus had two fathers, one heavenly and one earthly. But neither one of them was His biological father and neither one of them were gay. So what in the world is the point of that? All over America right now, Laodicean churches are using in their church services something called the Sparkle Creed. This is a part of it.
I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and saw everyone as a sibling child of God.
I can't take any more of that. People, that's heresy. Now, we believe that God is an eternal being in one and three persons. But all through the Bible, He always, always refers to Himself in singular masculine pronouns. He, Him, not they, them. Stupid, woke, LGBTQ claptrap that tries to turn Jesus into Dylan Mulvaney. You want to know who Jesus is? Open your Bible. Jesus is God. God in the flesh, God with us. And why do we need to remember that, especially at Christmas time? Because of all the loneliness and all the depression at Christmas time. One out of three Americans now lives all by themselves. One out of three. And doctors say that loneliness is as hazardous to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Depression. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. If you were honest about all those happy, clappy family Christmas newsletters that you send out every December, you'd be telling people how much time you spend crying in the bathroom and how you wake up every morning wishing that you hadn't. Who says this is the most wonderful time of the year? Last Christmas, 65-year-old Peter Robbins, who played the voice of Charlie Brown and all those Charlie Brown specials, killed himself after struggling with the depression his entire life. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You are so depressed, if it wasn't for your kids, instead of hanging the stockings, you'd hang yourself. Because it's mind over matter, isn't it? Other people wouldn't mind, and you don't matter. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. I'm not important. I don't matter a hill of beans. And you know why you think that? You know why you believe that? Because you don't realize all the incredible ways that God really is with you. And every single winter, we get another reminder of it. Every single winter, we get a little bit of snow. And because we hate shoveling it and driving it so much, we don't realize the incredible miracle that snow really is. Back in 1895, a farm boy from Vermont named Wilson Bentley got a microscope for his 15th birthday. And he took that microscope and started looking at snowflakes. And he became known as the Snowflake Man because he spent the rest of his life taking pictures and publishing pictures of snowflakes. And what those pictures prove is that there are no two snowflakes that are ever alike. A 1-inch snow over a 2,000 square mile area, there are 1 quintillion snowflakes. That's a 1 followed by 18 zero snowflakes. Not two of those snowflakes are alike. 24 septillion snowflakes fall on planet Earth every single year. That's a 24 followed by 24 zero snowflakes. No two of those snowflakes are ever alike. And why? Because Isaiah chapter 55 verses 10 and 11 says, all snow comes from heaven. Which means God specifically designs and creates every single snowflake to be totally different than all the other ones. And God shows us how He creates all snowflakes to be different to remind us how He creates all human beings to be different. Because what do all snowflakes have in common? They all have six sides. And six in the Bible is the number of what? The number of man. And every snowflake starts out with an imperfection, a piece of dust. And as it falls through the atmosphere, water attaches to it, and then God freezes it into all different shapes and designs, just like us. Because in our hearts, there's an imperfection called sin. But just look at all the incredible things that God does with those imperfections there and there and there and right here. Stand up. Everybody take a look at this absolutely magnificent physical specimen standing right here. Designed and created by God to be totally different than anybody else who has ever walked this earth or whoever will. Nobody who has ever lived or died before or since or after will ever have her DNA. Nobody has exactly the same eye color that she has or exactly the same hair color that she has. Stick your tongue out. Nobody has the exact same pattern of taste buds on her tongue that she has. Nobody else has her fingerprints. If she takes her shoes off, her feet would smell like nobody other's feet smell. Isn't that incredible? Job chapter 37 verse 14, stop and behold the wondrous works of God. And why did God create her different than anybody else? Because He created her to do different things that nobody else can do. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, she is God's masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for her to do. Her and nobody else. So all of you people listening to this sermon right now who are so depressed because you don't think you don't count and you don't think you matter, listen to me. You do matter. You matter to the people who love you. You matter to the people who depend on you. You matter to the people who work with you. You occupy a space in this world that nobody else can fill. And even most importantly, you occupy a space in the mind and the heart and will of eternal God that nobody else can fill. God created you to do things nobody else can do, which means if you don't do them, they're never going to happen. People are never going to be blessed that only you could have blessed. People are never going to get married that you were supposed to marry. Children are never going to get raised up in the kingdom of God, that children that you were supposed to have and train. People are not going to hear the gospel because nobody's going to share it with them, because those are people that only you could have reached, and they don't hear the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell. You don't think you matter. You don't think you matter a lot. You don't think you make all the difference in the whole wide world to God and His plan for the ages. Don't tell me that God didn't show us how incredible snowflakes are to remind you how incredible you are. So for crying out loud, take all that depression, all that negativity, all that stinking thinking, all that bah humbug and cast it straight back to the pits of hell where it belongs. You are here in the flesh because Jesus, God in the flesh, created you to save souls, move mountains, and turn the world upside down for the glory of God. So let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. The first reason why God is with us at Christmas, because Jesus is God with us at Christmas. We want in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why God is with us at Christmas. Not just because Jesus is God with us at Christmas, but also because Jesus is our help in time of trouble. Amen. And that's also what the angel is telling us here in verse 23. Because you tell me, who else today really wants to help you? Last August, Sue and I were in Indiana on a camping trip. Our little dog Watson got an infection in his colon. Couldn't eat, puking up all the water that he drank. We called a veterinarian. She said, well, maybe we can get him in 2 weeks from Wednesday. 2 weeks? He wouldn't have lived another 2 days. Thanks for your help. And notice all the companies you deal with, they never give you a phone number to call. And why? Because they don't want you to call. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to mess with you. And if you do get a phone number, good luck trying to get to talk to an actual real live human being. But see, Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, God takes instant messages. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Like a good Savior, Jesus is there. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, but Kevin, God is with us. Why do we have to go through trouble to begin with? Because we live in a fallen world where sin has everything screwed up so that bad things just happen to people. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. And because Jesus never promised you a charmed life with an easy button. In fact, He tells us flat out. John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have difficulty. So grab your ankles. Because it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. Trouble. And that trouble happens to everybody. 65-year-old actor Dolph Lundgren, who played Drago in Rocky IV, now has liver cancer. 59-year-old actor Rob Lowe has had to go to AA 4 times a week for the last 31 years to stay sober. Country singer Kelly Pickler, her husband shoots himself in the head and commits suicide. Comedian Dana Carvey lost his son Dex last November the 15th when he killed himself with a drug overdose. 83-year-old actor John Amos, who played James Evans in that 70s sitcom Good Times, is now the victim of elder abuse at the hands of his own daughter. Trouble. And the pain doesn't go away. And the divorce papers come. And your business goes under. And your daughter tells you that she's trans. And all the plans you had of walking her down an aisle one day go right out the window. And your BFF commits suicide. And you pray. And you pray till your stomach hurts and the baby still dies. And God says absolutely nothing. Happy holidays. And what are you going to do? Last Saturday, November the 11th, gay activist soccer player Megan Rapinoe tore her Achilles tendon in her very last professional soccer game before she retired. This is what she said. I'm not a religious person or anything, and if there is a God, like, this injury is proof that there isn't. Really. Trouble comes into your life, what are you going to do? Going to quit? You going to give up? You going to walk away? Take your ball and go home? Psalm chapter 94, verse 15, God says, I will help you in trouble. So the question is this morning, are you going to keep trusting and believing that God has a plan? You going to keep trusting in Him? You going to keep hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit? Or are you going to chuck it all and walk away like so many people have before? I could fill this room right now with a number of Christians who have walked away from God. Ken and Kathy Parent. Ever since I've known this couple, they have been playing whack-a-mole with little spots of cancer that just keep coming back and coming back and coming back in that man's body. But in spite of that, you ask them if they think God has left them. Not on your life. Yea, though they walk by the valley of the shadow, they will fear no evil, for God is with them. Listen to me. I don't care what kind of trouble, I don't care what kind of problems you've got in your life right now. If the God that you believe in is powerful enough to create all this that you see here, and if He's powerful enough to create all that you see up there, out of nothing, instantly, by simply speaking it into being, by the power of His Word and by the breath of His mouth, you don't think you can trust God to take care of an MRI, or freshman algebra, or your house payment, or your son's drinking problem? Jesus will help us in times of trouble because Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you even when you get fat, even when you get fired, even when you get divorced and your ex is trashing you on social media. Jesus is with you even if you got same-sex attraction. Jesus is with you even when you got a porn problem. Jesus is with you even when it doesn't seem like it. Jesus is with you even when you can't understand it. Jesus is with you even when nobody else wants to be with you. And you say, Kevin, I just don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. Does this text say God is with you only when you feel like it? No. Feelings are not facts. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Truth is not what you feel in here. Truth is what you see in here. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, God says, I am with you and I will help you. You gonna believe that or not? Amen. Cherokee Indians had an old ceremony that every boy would go through in order to become a man. The father would take the boy deep into the forest, blindfolded, and then leave him there all night long. And if he survived to the next morning, he'd become a man. And he couldn't tell any other boys what happened. And he had to sit on a stump all night long and not move. And he couldn't take the blindfold off until the sun came up the next morning and started shining through it. And you talk about scary. All the noises you hear in the forest at night, all the branches rustling, all the twigs breaking, the wolves and the bears could have gotten him. Warriors from enemy Indian tribes could have attacked him and kidnapped him, but he couldn't cry out. He couldn't make a sound. He couldn't move. And he couldn't take the blindfold off. And the wind would blow, and that stump would shake. But as freaked out as he was, he couldn't cry out. He couldn't take the blindfold off, because if he took the blindfold off, he wouldn't become a man. So there he was, sitting on that stump, all by himself, scared to death, all night long, until finally, the next morning, after one terrifying night, the sun came up and he took his blindfold off. And what do you know? There, sitting on a stump right next to him, was his father, who had been there the whole time, right next to him, watching over him all night long. People, listen to me. You are never alone. Even when it doesn't seem like it. Even when it's too dark to see it. Because Jesus is sitting on that stump right next to you, just where he always is. Amen. And all you need to do to reach out to him is just take his hand. Because Acts chapter 17 verse 27, he is not far from any single one of us. Jesus will help you in times of trouble. Jesus is with us. He will help us in times of trouble, even when everything seems absolutely lost. Amen. Last April, Bobby and Katrina Scott had an 8-year-old daughter named Bella who was being treated for cancer, for childhood leukemia, and taken chemo. And she had an experimental drug use that caused a really bad reaction, VOD in the liver. And because of that, she was really struggling to breathe, struggling so bad, the doctor was ready to order her put on a ventilator. Everybody knows most people never survive after they're put on a ventilator. And if she was put on a ventilator, that meant she couldn't talk. And because her mom, Christina, wasn't at the hospital that time, that meant little Bella would never be able to say goodbye to the person that she loved more than anybody else in the whole wide world. Kept getting worse and worse. 2 o'clock that next morning, CO2 levels in her blood were so bad, they were beyond emergency level. Doctor ordered her put on a ventilator. In that moment, the Spirit of God spoke to Bobby Scott and said, you don't have to do that. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wait on the Lord. Watch and pray. And that's exactly what Bobby Scott did. He told the doctor, no ventilator. That doctor was fit to be tied. And that man went into the chapel of that hospital, got down on his hands and knees before the Lord and prayed. Prayed for his daughter all night long. And every hour as he prayed, the CO2 levels in her blood just got better and better. And her breathing just got stronger and stronger. 4 days later, Bobby and Christina Scott took that little 8-year-old girl home, not just because she was breathing better, but because she was totally healthy as a horse. Not only that, she was totally 100% cancer free. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That man on his hands and knees before the Lord prayed that cancer away. Bobby Scott said this, it's God's job to heal, it's our job to pray and believe that he can. Folks, with God there is no such thing as a hopeless situation, because there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God through prayer cannot do. God is with us in Jesus Christ. God will help us in time of trouble through Jesus Christ. And how much more evidence out there do we need? Last summer, so many people boycotted Bud Light because of the LGBTQ propaganda. Anheuser-Busch lost $27 billion in sales, laid off hundreds and hundreds of workers, and the king of beers turned into the queen of beers. And to this day, Bud Light is about as popular as Bidenomics at a Trump rally. Last October the 16th, three guys got caught in an F3 tornado outside of Abilene, Kansas. This is what it was like for them.
Oh my gosh! Oh!
Lord Jesus, please protect us in the name of Jesus.
Oh!
Tornado's right next to us, right here?
Oh no.
Calm down.
Thank you, Jesus, for protecting us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you're going to protect us right now.
Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Dear God. Please, Lord. Dear Lord. Please.
Telephone poles flying by, debris absolutely trashed that car, but every single one of those guys escaped without a scratch. And why? Did you hear them praying? Did you hear them crying out to Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is with us. Jesus Christ will help us. In all 52 years of the history of the franchise, the Texas Rangers could never get over the hump when it came to playoff baseball. And recently, that team absolutely stunk. 2021, they finished 60 and 102. And 2019 to 2021 were the worst 3 years in that franchise's history. But then what do you know? Last year, the Texas Rangers won the World Series in absolutely the most incredible, the most amazing playoff run in the history of all of Major League Baseball, because they set all kinds of records. 16 playoff games in a row with at least one home run. And an absolutely unheard of 11 straight playoff wins on the road that no team in baseball had ever done before. And what makes it even more amazing, they did it against teams like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, who started the season 27-6. And the Baltimore Orioles, who had the best record in the American League and never lost a series at home the entire season. And the defending champion Houston Astros, who had played in 4 of the last 7 World Series. And Evan Carter, 21-year-old rookie, who wasn't called up until middle of September, set records too by batting 300 in the postseason and 9 doubles and getting on base at least once every single one of those 16 postseason games. And Evan Carter is a born-again Christian. Now, the team that was favored to win the World Series, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, they won 100 games this year. They won their division again. But you know what happened to them after that? They got swept 3 games straight in the first round by the sixth seed Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, you know what also is true about the Texas Rangers? Only team in Major League Baseball last year that never hosted an LGBTQ Pride Night at their stadium. Los Angeles Dodgers did host an LGBTQ Pride Night at their stadium. In fact, they used that night to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, transvestite perverts that dress up like nuns to trash Jesus Christ and to trash Christianity. So the team that was supposed to win the World Series, favored to before the season started, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they did have a Pride Night. The Texas Rangers, who actually did win the World Series, they didn't have a Pride Night. Just saying. You don't think that there's a God out there? You don't think there's a Jesus out there who's still working and moving behind the scenes? Amen. And in case anybody needs more evidence, the national Christmas tree outside the White House this year got a fungus that had to be cut down last November the 11th. So they brought in a 40-foot Norway spruce to replace it. But then last November the 30th, hellacious winds in Washington, D.C. blew that Christmas tree down too. And the National Park Service had to bring in a huge crane to get it set up again. Gee, do you think maybe the Lord's trying to tell us something? Even the Christmas trees don't want to live by the White House where Joe Biden is. People, listen to me. You are not crazy for believing that Jesus is real and that he can help you and see you through any kind of trouble that the world, the devil, or every demon power in hell can throw against you. Psalm chapter 94, verse 15. God is with us in trouble because Jesus Christ is with us in trouble. The second reason why God is with us at Christmas time is because Jesus is with us in times of trouble. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why God is with us at Christmas time. Not just because Jesus is God with us at Christmas. Not just because Jesus is our help in time of trouble. But also because Jesus is our hope for the future. And that's also what the angel is telling us here in verse 23. Because notice, God with us, period. Not God with us for a while. Not God with us till after the first of the year. Not God with us until he gets tired. Not God with us until all the episodes of Yellowstone get on DVD so God can retire and binge watch it. Not God with us until God finds somebody else that he thinks looks a lot hotter than you are. God with us, period. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, I will be with you always. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Timeless. Not temporary, permanent. Folks, the only hope we have for the future is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen to me, we better be putting our hope in Jesus. Because right now, there is a dark, demonic spirit of heaviness that has settled right over this country. You can feel it. We got a clown show government, folks. A man in the White House who shakes hands with imaginary people. And Kamala Harris, who can't even put a coherent thought together. But don't worry, 83-year-old Nancy Pelosi just announced she's going to run for office again. My God, people, where's the hope? And did you see Joe Biden sucking up to Chinese President Xi Jinping last November the 15th in San Francisco? Did you see the United States Marine, a United States Marine forced to hold a Chinese communist flag, the flag of our number one enemy who is absolutely dedicated to destroying this country? You don't think Joe Biden sold you up for that Chinese spy balloon money? Proverbs chapter 29 verse 2, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And we no longer have a southern border, folks. Because the federal government isn't interested whatsoever in keeping anybody from anywhere in the world from walking into this country, going wherever they want to go, and doing whatever they want to do. Last Wednesday, over 12,000 illegals at once walked into this country near Yuma, Arizona. 95% of them young men of military age. There's the video.
The illegal immigrants were predominantly adult men from Venezuela, with many of them telling us they arrived in northern Mexico via train and walked an hour to the border to cross in a huge mess.
No vetting, no idea who they are, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, sleeper cells, Chinese communists, murderers, rapists, who knows, who cares? Joe Biden said this back in 2014. We need a constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants, not just dribbles, but significant flows, so those with white European heritage become a minority, because that would be a good thing and what will allow America to remake itself like it needs to. Conservatives didn't start the replacement theory. They did. Folks, don't tell me. That's not what's happening to this country. But don't worry, because Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth have the solution. We'll just take all the illegals coming into our country and put them in the United States military in exchange for giving them citizenship. Remember the Cloward and Piven strategy for destroying a nation by using a fifth column to decimate it from the inside? My gosh, these are evil people that do not care about you or this nation. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 43 and 44. The foreigners among you will gain stronger and stronger while you get weaker and weaker until eventually they will rule over you. Don't tell me that's not what's happening in America right now. And don't tell me it wasn't planned from the very start. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now saying, Kevin, your hope isn't in Jesus Christ. Your hope is in Donald Trump. Really? Last December the 4th at a campaign rally near Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 150 evangelical pastors laid hands on Donald Trump. This is what it looked like.
The gates of hell will not prevail against him. I always speak this over him. Lord, I pray for protection over him. I pray for protection over his family.
And Lord, that all the weapons formed against him will not prosper.
Yes.
Lord, they will come to nothing, and the traps that have been laid against him.
Yes.
Lord, the people that laid the traps, they will be caught in their own traps.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you now, Lord, for a great favor.
Amen.
And I pray, Lord, that we will get presence of trust in you.
Yes.
Not always understand, but acknowledge you in all his ways, Lord. And I trust you that you will direct his paths.
And, of course, the left had an absolute cow about that. AOC said this on MSNBC. Look at that. They are worshiping Donald Trump with their arms outstretched, just like the Nazis did with Adolf Hitler. See what Donald Trump and all the evangelical lunatics have planned for this country? Christian nationalism, just like Nazism, on full display. People, I got to tell you, I am getting sick and tired of hearing that Christian nationalism is the unpardonable sin and that Christian nationalism is the same as Nazism. Adolf Hitler hated Christianity. We believe in Jesus Christ. That makes us Christians. We also believe in the rights and freedoms that God has given us in the United States Constitution. And we see the blessings that God has poured out on this nation. And we want to continue to see those blessings poured out on that nation. Now, I guess that makes us nationalists too. Christian nationalists. And people, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll say it again for the billionth time. And I'll say it real slow so that nobody misunderstands it. We do not worship Donald Trump. We worship Jesus Christ. Donald Trump is not God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Donald Trump is my president. Jesus is my Savior. We're smart enough to differentiate between the two. Did you hear what those pastors were saying? They weren't praying to Donald Trump. They were praying for Donald Trump. Because they know he's broken and a sinner just like all the rest of us are. Did you hear him pray in Proverbs 3 that he would trust in God and not lean on his own understanding? Our hope is not in Donald Trump. Our hope is what God could do through him, because we've seen 4 years of it already. The greatest economy in the history of the world. The biggest pro-life president we've ever had, who appointed judges that overturned Roe versus Wade. The best friend that Israel ever had in the White House. Our hope is not in a man. Our hope is in what God possibly could do through that man. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, we rejoice in hope. But the sad fact is, all kinds of evil people in this country have been fighting for decades to destroy that. And the ringleader you see right there, Henry Kissinger, who died last November the 29th at the age of 100. Henry Kissinger was an advisor to 12 presidents and one of the most powerful people in the history of the world when it came to international politics. 1955, he started meeting with David Rockefeller and the Bilderberg Group, a group that is absolutely dedicated to depopulation and New World Order and a one world government. And I know when I say that, I have somebody saying, Kevin, New World Order, one world government, that's just a conspiracy theory. No, it's a conspiracy, but it's not a theory because it's fact. President George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden have all talked about the New World Order. Joe Biden said this back in 1984 already. The affirmative track we have right now is to create the New World Order. There you go. In a speech back in 1999, Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, said that.
Their leader, Pat Robertson, has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Most trusted man in America, pushing a one world government. 1960, Henry Kissinger was a professor at Harvard University. One of his prize students was who? That would be Klaus Schwab. Henry Kissinger was huge in putting together the World Economic Forum. Folks, it's taken them over 50 years to put the New World Order together. And March 2020, they launched it with the Great Reset and the virus and the pandemic and the vaccine and the digital IDs and the digital currency. Just exactly like the Bible said, Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, the kings of the earth will commit adultery with the beast and take all the power that they have over the world and transfer it to the kingdom of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. And people, that is exactly where we are headed right now. Amen. And don't tell me that we can't see it all over the world. We see it in World War III. It started in Israel last October the 7th when Hamas terrorists attacked and slaughtered over 1,500 Jews. And the funny thing, every major U.S. news service had photographers embedded with Hamas before the terrorist attacks even started. Not only that, but there was all kinds of short trading going on the New York Stock Exchange in the days leading up to that attack. People knew it was coming ahead of time. And October the 9th, Nazi supporters AOC and Chuck Schumer put together a huge pro-Palestinian rally in downtown New York City just two days after that massacre. People, don't tell me that attack wasn't planned and not just by Hamas. We see it in French president and Antichrist wannabe Emmanuel Macron, who now wants to lead an international coalition army to take over the city of Jerusalem, just like the Antichrist will take over the city of Jerusalem. To bring peace, he says, like the Antichrist promises peace. And divide up the land of Israel for a two-state solution, just like Joel chapter 3, verse 2 says. 2014, Henry Kissinger personally took Emmanuel Macron by the hand and got him in to the Bilderberg Group in Copenhagen, Denmark. How far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Emmanuel Macron's first name is Emmanuel, just like Jesus' name is Emmanuel. The Antichrist trying to be like Jesus Christ. His second name is Michelle, which means who is like God. Do you get the picture? You don't think the New World Order is setting up the kingdom for the Antichrist? This past week was a climate change conference in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And you talk about a joke. That conference tried to ban all fossil fuels in a country, United Arab Emirates, that just announced they were going to double their production of gas and oil. It's like having a vegetarian conference at a Longhorn Steakhouse. And what's even funnier, a lot of the VIPs got delayed getting there because their private jets couldn't get off the runway in Germany because of an ice storm. Snow and ice in a world that's warming up way too fast, you know. And one of the speakers of that conference was Bill Gates from hell. And he called for the elimination of all fossil fuels, even though gas and coal and oil account for 80% of the energy in the world. So I guess everybody's just going to ride around on horses and burn cow manure to keep warm. Everybody but Bill Gates, of course, because he is way too important to live like that himself. The picture you see on the screen is a beach house that Bill Gates bought 2 years ago in San Diego, California. So here's a guy who flies around the world screaming about how fossil fuel is warming up the planet and raising the level of the oceans and it's going to flood everything along the coast, and he plunks down $43 million for a beach house that's 20 yards away from the Pacific Ocean. You can believe that climate change is a crisis when the people who tell you it's a crisis start living like it's a crisis themselves. The hypocrisy takes your breath away. And you know why? Because climate change is not about the climate, it's about the change. Changing this planet into a brave new world. Because every time there is a call to save the planet, it always, always, always comes along with a call to take over the planet. King Charles said this at the climate change conference 2 years ago. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector with trillions at his disposal. Did you catch that? His. He's talking about the Antichrist like he already knows who it is. And folks, that is exactly where this whole thing is headed. The WEF, the Great Reset, the virus, the pandemic, the vaccine, the digital IDs, the digital currency, controlling every single aspect of your life. And climate change is the battering ram that they're going to use to shove it down your throat. Personal carbon footprint trackers. Carbon scores, credit scores, on and on and on. And the New World Order will take the power they have over the world and turn it over to the kingdom of the Antichrist. Just exactly like the Bible says, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12. And folks, I don't make this stuff up. This is not a myth. There are real people who are really doing this right now in our world. And what's going to happen then? Well, here's the good news. Our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. John, Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. People, Jesus is coming. Not Santa Claus coming to town, but Jesus Christ coming again. And how do we know that Jesus is coming? At this past climate change conference, European Union President Ursula von der Leyen called for a global tax, putting a tax on every single person in the entire known world. Of course, to pay for the coming kingdom of the Antichrist, even though she didn't say that. You say, well, Kevin, so what? Just this. The last time somebody tried to tax every single person in the entire known world was 4 BC, when a Roman emperor named Caesar Augustus did it. And what happened right after that? Jesus Christ came to earth the first time. So what's going to happen when the globalists try to tax every single person in the entire known world again? Jesus Christ is coming back to earth the second time. People, Jesus is coming, and Christians, we are going. Because all the signs are there. Everything has already been put in place. Now it's showtime. In a second, it's go time. And He will be with us always, even through the end of the world. Folks, the times we're living in absolutely blow your mind. These are amazing, amazing times that we're living in right now. But you know what's even more amazing? We've got a book here, a Bible, that was written thousands and thousands of years ago. And yet this book tells us every single thing that is happening right now in these last days, thousands and thousands of years later, with 100% complete accuracy. Now you tell me, what other book and what other faith system can tell the future with 100% accuracy? There is none. And do you know why this book can? Because God wrote this book. And do you know why God can tell the future? Because God controls the future. And you know why God controls the future? Because He's the only God there is. Amen. And this God who holds all of history, past, present, and future, all time, space, and dimension, in the palm of His hand, is also holding you. And this God not only revealed Himself in this book, the Bible, He also revealed Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, came down, God in the flesh, God in human form, died on a cross to pay the price for our sin, and then rose from the dead for our salvation. The question is this morning, what are you going to do with Him? God did all that so He could be with us. What are you willing to do in order to be with Him? There's unbelievers sitting in this church right now, right here in these seats. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus never intended you to do the end times. He never intended you to go through these last days by yourself. You need to be close to Him. And I don't mean close standing next to Him. I mean close in here. He has got to be in your heart. The nanosecond the service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you pray with somebody to receive Christ. Because He is not far from any one of us. You're sitting 10 feet away from the church, you're 10 feet away. You're sitting 20 yards away, you are 20 yards away from salvation at the end of this service. You come. There's believers sitting in this church right now. You know why we're snapping, biting each other's heads off because we're so stressed? You know why we're freaking out about everything that's going on around us? You know why we can't sleep at night? Because we're not close to Jesus like we should be. Are we? And Jesus is right there. Jesus is where He's always been. He's on the throne. So if we're not close to Him, who moved? Today, you need to get out of your seat, come to the front of this church, and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, came down to this earth in human form in the person of Jesus, went through hell on the cross to pay the price for our sin, and rose from the dead. He was willing to do that to be with you. What are you willing today to do to be with Him? And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for today. I just thank You, Lord, for that message of Christmas. Just thank You, Lord, that no matter what we're going through in life, no matter how scary these times are, Lord, You knew all about it. You told us all about it in Your Word. You told us exactly what to do. And that's to come to know You as, and trust You as our Savior. Trust You for salvation. And just keep praying and just keep believing and staying close. Just pray for somebody here today, Lord, that doesn't know You. They're not saved. They're not a Christian. You would just make that decision, Lord, in their hearts by the power of Your Holy Spirit. But to pray to receive Christ. And I pray the rest of us who are believers, we would never forget You are with us, even in times of trouble, even when it's dark, even when we can't see it. I pray You just give us faith, Lord, that never moves away from that. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.